on friendship. When you are sad, I will dry your tears. When you are scared, I will ease your fears. When you are worried, I will give you hope. If you want to give up, I'll help you cope. When you are lost and can't see the light, I'll be your beacon shining so bright. This is my oath that I pledge to the end. Why, you may ask? Because you're my friend. Nicole Richie, 15.
The Forgotten Friend by Judith Burnett Schneider. It was my 10th birthday, double digits, and I would have the biggest party ever. The guest list, which I kept at the back of my homework assignment folder, began with a few close friends. But in 2 weeks before that special Friday night, it had quickly grown from 7 girls to a whopping total of 17. Nearly every girl in my 5th grade class had been invited to sleep over at my house for a big celebration. I was especially happy when each guest I invited excitedly accepted the invitation. It would be a night of scary stories, pizza, and lots of presents. But as I later realized, I would truly only treasure one gift I received that night. The family room was a flurry of shouts and bursts of laughter. We had just finished a game of Twister, and were lining up for the limbo when the doorbell rang. I hardly paid attention to who it might be at the door. What did it matter, really? Everyone I liked from school was there in my family room, preparing to lean under the stick held by my 2 sisters. "Judy, come here for a minute," Mom called from the front door. I rolled my eyes and shrugged to my friends as if to say, "Now who would dare bother me at a time like this?" What I really wanted to say was, "It's tough being popular." I rounded the bend toward the front door, then stopped. I know my mouth dropped open and I could feel my face turning red, for there, on the front porch, stood Sarah Wesley, the quiet girl who sat next to me in music class, and she was holding a gift. I thought about the growing list in the back of my assignment folder. How had I forgotten to invite Sarah? I remembered that I had only added a name to the list when someone had shown an interest in me, like kids do when they know someone is having a party and don't want to be left out. But Sarah had never done that. Never once had she asked me about my birthday party. Never once did she squeeze into the circle of kids surrounding me at lunchtime. And once she even helped me carry my backpack while I lugged my science project to our 3rd floor classroom. I guess I had forgotten to invite her simply because she wasn't pushing to be invited. I accepted the gift from Sarah and asked her to join the party. "I can't stay," she said, looking down. "My dad's waiting in the car." "Can you come in for a little while?" I nearly begged. By now I felt pretty bad about forgetting to invite her and really did want her to stay. "Thanks, but I have to go," she said, turning toward the door. "See you Monday." I stood in the foyer with Sarah's gift in my hands and an empty feeling in my heart. I didn't open the gift until hours after the party had ended. Hours after the games, the food, the ghost stories, the pillow fights, the pranks on those first to fall asleep, and the snores. Inside the small box was a ceramic tabby cat, about 3 inches tall with its tail in the air. In my mind, it was the best gift I had received, even though I was never really into cats. I later found out that the figurine looked exactly like Sarah's cat, Seymour. I didn't know it then, but now I realize that Sarah was my one true childhood friend. While the other girls drifted away, Sarah was always there for me, ever loyal and supportive. She was an unconditional friend who stood by me, always encouraging and understanding me. Although I'll always feel bad about forgetting her, I also realized that I might not have discovered Sarah as a friend had I remembered to invite her to that unforgettable 10th birthday party.
My Best Enemy by Dakota Lane. Once again, I was in a new school. So was a girl in my class named Paris. That's where the similarities ended. I was tall, with a big, moony face. She was petite and skinny with the model's delicate features. My thick black hair had been recently cut short into a shag style. Her natural caramel blonde hair flowed to her waist and looked great when she flipped it around. I was 12 and one of the oldest in the class. She was 11 and the youngest in the class. I was awkward and shy. She wasn't. I wore baggy overalls, sweatshirts, and lime green hiking boots. Paris wore rhinestone platform shoes, little twirly skirts, and expensive size 1 designer jeans. I couldn't stand her. I considered her my enemy. She liked me. She wanted to be friends. One day, she invited me over, and I said yes. I was too shocked to answer any other way. My family had moved 6 times in 6 years, and I had never managed to develop many friendships. No one had invited me over to play since I was young enough to actually play. But this girl, who wore tinted lip gloss and the latest fashions, wanted me to go home with her after school. She lived in a fun part of town that had 2 pizza places, an all-night bookstore, a movie theater, and a park. As we walked from the school bus stop through her neighborhood, I tried to guess which house might be hers. Was it the white one with the perfect lawn, or the brown shingled 3-story house with a silky golden retriever on the front porch? Was I surprised when she led me into an apartment building which smelled like frying food, chemical cleaning sprays, and incense? She lived on the 4th floor in a 2-room place with her mother, her stepfather, her 2 brothers, and her sister. When we got to the room she shared with her sister, she took out a big case of Barbies, which was my next surprise. I would have thought she'd outgrown them. I had never played with them. But we sat on the floor of a walk-in closet, laughing as we made up crazy stories about the Barbies. That's when we found out that we both wanted to be writers when we were older, and we both had wild imaginations. When we got bored making up stories, she took out a small case of makeup and taught me how to put on lipstick and blush. I still thought that I looked like a clown. My face just wasn't made for makeup. Unlike me, Paris looked about 18 years old in makeup. We spent that afternoon screaming with laughter. Our jaws ached from smiling so much. She showed me her wardrobe, which had mostly come from a designer clothing store down the block. The woman who owned it used her as a model sometimes for newspaper ads and gave her clothes in exchange. Paris had the whole neighborhood charmed. The bookstore owners lent her fashion magazines, the movie theater gave her free passes, and the pizza place let her have free slices. Soon, I was included in her magic world. We slept over at each other's houses, spent every free moment together. Sometimes, Paris and I stayed up the entire night talking. We never ran out of things to discuss, whether we were making detailed lists of boys we liked or talking about the meaning of life. She was too poor to have a telephone, so when I was forced to be apart from her, I would dial the number of the payphone in the pizza place. If I was lucky, Paris would be nearby and answer it. She was my first real friend since childhood, and she helped me get through the rough years of early adolescence. My dark hair grew out, and I learned to love being tall. Eventually, I found a shade of lipstick that didn't make me look like something from Scream 2. Nothing bad happened in our relationship, except for growing older. We ended up going to different junior high schools and eventually drifted apart. Since then, I've had other wonderful friendships, but Paris taught me an amazing and very surprising thing about making friends, that your worst enemy can turn out to be your best friend.